All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Feed 'em my Frankenstein.
Well, I ain't evil. I'm just good looking. Start a little fire. Baby, start cooking. I'm a hungry man, but I don't want pizza. I'll blow down your house, and then I'm gonna eat ya. Bring you to a simmer.
You gonna say something or just gonna read porno all night?
My head hurts.
Why is that, Frankenstein?
This is... Oh, God.
Apparently your voice hurts, too.
I'm dying.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
Why don't you do it?
Merely a flesh wound. I can't do it. I'm not Big Kev.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode...
57.
57.
Can I try?
Sure.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 57, Jerry Falwell Dies.
We're not calling it Jerry Falwell Dies.
Why not? That's it's very
because
important.
Because it's irrelevant.
It's a very big news item this
Did
past
you hear,
couple days.
Are you listening to the music right now?
He's a superhero in his own right.
Do you not recognize Alice Cooper's
yes.
Feed My Frankenstein?
I do.
This episode is called Frankenstein, and for a very damn good reason.
Hey, it's Frankenstein.
That's right. Why don't you tell us why it's called Frankenstein?
Last Tuesday at approximately 3 a.m., I awoke from my sleep with the amazing urge to pee, and... After deciding, after a moment or two, that I could not quell that urge and go back to sleep, I immediately got up and went to my bathroom to pee. Upon finishing peeing, I blacked out.
Well, that's no good.
I fainted.
All right.
And I fell backwards,
mm-hmm.
and I hit my head on a radiator.
Ow.
Like a footy tall radiator. So I was in like full, I don't know, there's a physicist out there somewhere who's like working the numbers right now. But I was at like full maximum speed when I hit the radiator.
Right.
And the next thing I knew, I was on the floor looking at myself in the mirror, because there's a mirror on the back of my bathroom door. Mm-hmm. I was looking at myself in the mirror.
That's where you flex in the morning.
And my head, that's right. And my head really hurt a lot. And I was wondering how water had gotten spilled on the floor and how my head had landed in it. Until I put my hand back there, and I realized that it wasn't water. It was blood.
Your head was leaking.
Yes. Leaking would be rather an understatement. As I sat up, the blood gushed out of my head, down my face, down my head. But thankfully, due to my medical training, I was able to...
ER, you mean?
Yes, ER.
Right.
We all know I watch 2 hours of ER each and every day.
You fashioned a tourniquet
out
of the towel and wrapped it around your neck?
I wrapped the towel around my head. Thank you, fantastic. Over the wound. And I did a tourniquet maneuver under my chin.
Right.
So I looked like I had a little purple bloody bonnet on.
And then you went back to bed.
And then I... No, fantastic.
Did you sing Matchmaker?
I did not sing Matchmaker. I assessed myself. I was awake and alert. My pupils were fixed and dilated. I tested my balance and my coordination.
Nipples erect.
And having come to the conclusion that I was okay, I then drove myself to the hospital.
Right.
with the
bad conclusion,
the towel on my head.
You did make it okay.
I did.
But because, in hindsight, not such a great idea.
Because then I called you.
Yes, at 3:30 a.m. in some sort of whimpering panic.
I hardly think it was a whimpering panic. I just wanted to make sure that if I died from this, that you knew who to give my belongings to.
Me. That's right. I'm taking all the toys and statues. And prints, by the way. I know who the DVDs go to. I know they're not mine. But the toys and the prints, I figure I got dibs on those.
Who gets the DVDs?
Well, if it's the same person it was years ago, it's old Baldy.
Oh, old Baldy should get some, I guess.
That's what I mean.
Maybe. You should probably cherry pick them.
Yeah, I'll take a few out for myself.
I think so. Right. But in any event, it took 13 staples to put Humpty Dumpty back together again with the scalp-lack, as they call it. That's short for laceration. Scalp-lack.
Oh, is that what
that is? Was down to my skull.
Nice.
And Matt, of course, you were there during the stapling.
I was there during the stapling.
And I think we have some pictures. They might be.
Oh yeah.
They might be running right now. If you're watching or listening to the show using your photo iPod or video iPod, or if you're watching using QuickTime, you can see the pictures of the first one up was actually it's right now. The first one you're seeing now is the picture I took when I first got to the hospital.
Right.
And then Matt took this picture.
Right.
Which was after they cleaned out the wound. You see the white bits towards the bottom. That's my skull.
Fun.
And the whitish yellowish bits, I should say. And then finally, there's a picture of the stapling job that they did there.
So for those of you not looking at the pictures, picture the zipper that Ric Flair has installed on his forehead that he unzips at least once per pay-per-view. Kevin has the same wound, but in the middle of his scalp.
Toward the back a little bit.
Right.
But
good 6 inches long. It's a nice one.
Right. Well, in any event, they kept me in the hospital for like 2 days.
Which is why we didn't do a show last week.
Which is why we didn't do a show last week. And but I want everyone to know that I'm okay. They don't have an exact reason why I blacked out. Could be a combination of a few things. That seems to be the prevailing theory.
Right.
That I had, for some reason, low blood sugar, probably because I was dieting.
Right.
Using mostly vegetables and things.
Mm-hmm.
And that I probably got up too quick, and I was exhausted when I went to bed, and I had only been asleep an hour, so a little groggy. Anyway, we should probably move away from this...
from your head wound?
Frankenstein discussion and on to bigger and better things. So, what's going on in the world?
Well, a lot.
Apparently.
It's been like, 3 weeks, I think we said, since we've done an episode.
Yeah,
so
we had and
a
then,
boatload of stuff going on.
I mean, I think we should take this opportunity to apologize to the loyal listeners because,
that's right.
You know, we were taking a week off, and then there were technical difficulties with
your skull.
With the editing of the episodes.
Well,
and,
some people heard those technical difficulties.
I know, there was that technical difficulty, and then there were some other technical difficulties, and it just kind of all went awry.
Right.
And then the head thing. I mean, it just went crazy.
Went screwy.
And then of course, the ongoing legal battles with Brian Lynch. Of course, those are time consuming as well.
Speaking of which, Party Truck USA back up online. 3 new episodes, I think, while we've been off.
Oh, yay.
So for those of you who don't check out Brian's podcast, Party Truck USA.
Yeah, let's keep promoting him. Let's sue him and promote him. That's great.
All right, why don't we move on to the news? Or what really isn't the news at this point, it's really just going to be our commentary on shit that's happened in the past couple of weeks.
The olds?
The olds, yeah, there you go. So we'll start with Iron Man. We have so much news tonight, I actually had to organize it. Movies, television, video games, miscellaneous, etc. It took a lot of work.
Let's do miscellaneous first.
No, we're not doing miscellaneous first.
Okay.
We're saving it.
Because it's something for Fantastic, isn't it?
No, it's not, but we're saving it.
I don't even know.
So we'll start with Iron Man. So in the time that we've been gone, there's been a couple of things going on with Iron Man. First was the image online of Robert Downey Jr. working on the Mark I with the light in his chest. That would indicate that he has something in there to keep his heart beating and despite the shrapnel and stuff like that.
It's a pacemaker.
Right. and the image is very cool, and I like the design. I like the throwback to the origin. The question I have in regards to the picture is, why is he not wearing the suit while he already has this piece together in his chest? Because he's clearly working on the Mark One. So it's kind of like, is the Mark One then just useless and his first terrible attempt at an Iron Man suit? I don't know.
Only time will tell, Matt. Only time will tell.
Well, after that, we got a glimpse of what the Iron Man suit will look like. Entertainment Weekly had an image of it about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, at this point, and it looked awesome. Designed by Stan Winston. So, yes. Awesome. Designed by Stan Winston, for those of you who may or may not know who he is. And it looked really solid.
Wait. You said for those who may not know who
he is.
Look
it up. Well, we're moving along fast tonight. You got
Stan
the internet.
Winston.
They've got computers.
Is responsible for great movie creatures and film effects like those seen in the Terminator movies, the Alien and Predator movies.
Right.
You shouldn't slough off on Stan Winston.
I'm sorry, Stan. If you're listening, Stan, I apologize. I didn't mean
I think Stan does
slough
listen.
Off on you.
Is that why you passed out? You were sloughing off in the middle of the night?
Yes, that's what I was doing.
So we saw these images of the armor. We were kind of like, how is this going to work? Will it look good? Yada, yada. And then there was some video online that a gentleman got on the set of actually what we believe may or may not be a stunt double, actually in the armor, walking around, doing some stuff.
Was he giving lines like, oh, we're doomed, R2.
No, he was saying.
Captain Solo.
He was saying, oil can.
Yeah, exactly. Seeing that footage, whether it was good or not, because it wasn't great, and it was shot shoddily on a camcorder, but seeing the footage really did renew my faith in the armor. It really looked good. The movement in it didn't seem blocky or goofy, and we're talking about nothing, you know, no special effects. I mean, this is a guy in the suit walking around the set. So, I don't know.
When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle.
This is not the musical episode.
And yet I'm torn
Jesus
apart.
Christ, I can't speak tonight.
Just
episode.
Because I'm presuming that I could be kind of human.
Let's talk about
if
Batman.
I only had a heart.
Can we talk about Batman for a little
sure.
bit? Eric Roberts, who you may or may not know, has been on Heroes recently if you don't watch Heroes.
Yes.
It is rumored that
he's,
he will be.
Not on Heroes anymore.
Well, no.
Spoiler alert.
It's rumored that he will be playing a mafia kingpin in the upcoming Batman The Dark Knight film.
Uh-huh.
Anything else about it? Character name? If he's anybody
that
we've seen before?
Let me just say.
Right.
I spoke to a certain very high member. And not that he was drugged or anything, but he's in the echelon of the Batman films.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He is very high up there. And he confirmed for me that we are not to believe
anything
that we have seen on the internet regarding one Heath Ledger.
Okay.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
except for the fact that he's been cast.
Yes. Any images? And so, not to be believed.
So the silliness floating around online about Sarah Michelle Gellar potentially playing Harleen Quinzel in the film is probably just hogwash as well.
I didn't ask him about that.
That's
like
another
say,
rumor that's floating around.
I'd like
there.
To say that that would probably be a bad idea.
Good casting choice, I think.
Maybe.
But maybe the inclusion of her character in the movie would be a shaky idea.
Yeah. I hope to God that they're learning some lessons from Spider-Man.
No way. We'll
Am
get
I getting
there.
Ahead?
You're getting way ahead.
All right.
We're still in movies that haven't come out yet news.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of movies that haven't come out, Fallen Sun, The Death of Captain America, Captain America edition came out today.
And that's a movie?
And it seems like a decent read. It's a little confusing. But the most important part to talk about, written by Jeff Loeb, of course, illustrated by friend of the show, John Romita Jr. The issue featured a special variant blank cover. So it features the outline that they've been using, but
right.
the box in the middle that usually had the picture is blank.
Is this like the J. Scott Campbell Gen 13 number one draw your own cover that came out all
well,
those years
Marvel
ago?
Well, Marvel says that this cover will allow fans the opportunity to have creators do an original sketch of Cap for the cover, or if they're feeling artistic, can design their very own variant cover.
So my suggestion to fans then is to go to a convention and find Ron Garney, who is one of the nicest gentlemen alive, who will do an awesome cap sketch for you. And I don't think he'll rape you price wise.
I don't know about the pricing of such things. But the fact that Marvel is putting out a blank cover for people to sketch on is, well, it's ridiculous.
It's lazy.
Especially since their line is often the longest and the most poorly designed at every convention.
Right, you have to catch these guys when they're by themselves.
They have 10 guys sitting at a table and 300 people in line who might be wanting to see one of those guys.
Right.
DC layout is much better.
Right.
You get in line for the guys that you want to see.
Okay.
And if they're sketching for free, well, then good for you. Bring this cover. I mean, if that's something you want to do, it's fine. Quite frankly, if I were an artist in the climate of the world today, I would not sketch on the cover of this book, because everybody knows that they're going to sketch on this cover, and the sketch covers are all going to go up on eBay. It's the whole reason that these guys don't want to do sketches. If at all, they want to get a lot of money for them.
Sure.
You know, back in the day, you could go up to somebody and say, hey, could you do a sketch on a backing board for me? And they would have no problem doing it. And then these guys started going up and getting these free sketches and putting them up on eBay and getting all kinds of money. So, of course, the artists are like, well, that sucks. Why would we do that? It's like giving away, you know, stuff. And then they started charging. Then they started not doing them. Then they started charging an exorbitant amount of money for them. I mean, just retarded money.
Right.
And it just makes no sense. If you want to collect sketches, you want to collect original artwork the way, in the sense of sketches, go out, buy yourself a bound sketchbook, and promise yourself and everyone else that you are not going to tear the sketches out, and go for freebies. Tell them, look, just do a little something in my sketchbook. I'm keeping it. It's not going anywhere. And as you build up sketches in the sketchbook, you know, you'll get known. The book will get known in the sense that you're
Bernie
not tearing them out.
Alex Ross, Jim Lee.
All right. And we're not talking about my sketchbooks. The point is that the more sketches you get in there, you know, the more artists will see that you're not one of these jerk-offs who's getting sketches and going and putting them up on eBay.
Right.
And then maybe other guys will do sketches for you. And maybe they'll charge if you're really into a dude. And maybe they won't.
Good.
Just saying. I just think this flies in the face of everything that the artists are trying to do for themselves with regards to people who, you know, get sketches and put them up on eBay.
You know what? You're completely right. And since we are sticking with movie news, and that was movie news, I have a couple more things that I'd like to talk about real quick. Let's talk about the confirmed things and then the rumors first. Okay. Ronin is moving forward. Frank Miller's Ronin is the next Frank Miller graphic novel series to be worked on in hopes of a future potential movie. That's pretty exciting. If you like Frank Miller. And
speaking of Frank Miller, Frank Miller will be directing the Spirit movie.
Yes, we know that.
The Spirit movie will be distributed by Lionsgate.
Right. We knew that, too.
And they're going into production on that very soon.
Now, has there been any word about how that will affect Sin City 2?
No. I did not discuss that. I did discuss other projects with people in the industry lately. Shazam is moving forward.
Right. With some rumors of The Rock.
As
Shazam.
Not as Shazam.
Well, I've heard
Black Adam.
No, see, now I've heard it both ways.
Listen to me.
I've heard it both ways.
Listen to me.
Okay.
As Black Adam.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, since I brought up Sin City, I wanted to stick to the actual stuff and not the rumors. But since we brought up Sin City, and that makes me think about Robert Rodriguez, let's talk about the ridiculous Robert Rodriguez rumor of the week, which is that he will potentially be doing a live-action Jetsons movie.
Do-do-do-do.
Okay, let's move away from that now and go back to the true stuff.
Any casting?
No. Tim Roth will be playing the Abomination in this new Hulk film that they have coming out.
Tim Roth. Okay.
You know who Tim Roth is, right?
Yes, but maybe I know who Tim Roth is. Maybe the audience doesn't know who
Tim Roth
is.
So tell them who Tim Roth is.
Why don't you tell them?
You
bringing it to the table? Come prepared.
The one role that's
jumping off the top of my head right now is the bellboy from Four Rooms would be Tim Roth. So there you go. There. So look up Four Rooms. Look up the bellboy. That's Tim Roth. That's the one that's coming to my head. That's what I'm throwing out there.
That's exciting. What a great reference.
Back to the rumor mill, though. There's been some rumors floating around that Josh Holloway has been approached by Marvel. Josh Holloway, for those of you who don't know, plays Sawyer on TV's Lost. Has been approached by Marvel to potentially star in an upcoming Marvel film. And the rumor is that he will be playing Gambit in X-Men 4.
There is no God.
Well, you know what? As far as the look goes, I think he could do the look. I mean, his hair's the wrong color, but that's nothing. A little dye can't work. He definitely has a scruffy appearance with Sawyer, which would work very well for Gambit.
Right.
You know, he's probably about the right size, maybe a little tall, I would think, but nothing they can't work with in the film. We've been hearing rumors about Gambit making an appearance in the films for a long time. It would appear that Marvel caters to characters that they know fans want to see in the film, and Gambit probably is up there on the list as far as the X-Men film franchises are concerned, so why not? I don't think it's a terrible choice. I think doing an X-Men 4 is more of a terrible choice than using Josh Holloway to play Gambit.
That's what I meant. I meant that it's the notion of an X-Men 4 that is kind of bugging me.
Okay. Well, that's fair, obviously. X-Men 3 not being the blockbuster that it could be, certainly.
Speaking of movie news.
What?
Hasbro has announced that they will be releasing a Marvel Legends Silver Surfer action figure.
Okay.
Now, you may find that confusing since Toy Biz Series 5 Marvel Legends had a Silver Surfer.
What? Look, redoing another figure character doesn't surprise me. I mean, look at Hulk, Thor, Wolverine.
Yeah.
To name a few.
They've painted him pure silver no blue highlights, and they've put him in exclusive packaging. And he'll be a Walmart exclusive.
Okay, so no silver or all silver with no blue highlights isn't a surprise because it's Hasbro, and Hasbro pays no attention to dry brushing and paint detail
at all,
like right. Toy Biz used to do. So right. Really, that's just Hasbro trying to make it sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Special packaging, whatever.
He's actually on the board, and he's in kind of a box window package.
And he's in Legends, so he is in scale then with Legends figures and not the new movie scale that they're going with.
Right.
Which would be smaller. So is this tied into the Silver Surfer from the film, or is this Silver Surfer the comic book character?
Well, one would assume that they're tying it in with the film.
Because is Hasbro going to do Fantastic Four 2 movie figures? And will they then be in Legends scale, or will they be in tiny scale?
As we know from Toy Fair, they are going to be in small scale.
Like the Ghost Rider figures, which were in
smaller than the Ghost Rider figures.
I'm making a point.
Yes, I know. Because all their movie figures are going to be 4 inches from now on. Well, what about Ghost Rider? Well, Ghost Rider. That was their response. So, yes, that's being done by Hasbro. It will be out when Hasbro's Rise of the Silver Surfer movie toys come out.
Right, of course.
Oh, and this version will not include Howard the Duck.
That's a shame. Like Howard the Duck, one of the best accessory pieces ever.
I agree.
All right, let's go to some DVD news. We got two DVDs coming out later this year. Pretty exciting. One we've known about, since Toy Fair. We kind of found out about it a little secondhand when we found out that Biff Bang Pow was putting out action figures based on Flash Gordon. So what we found out was that there's a special edition DVD coming out this summer. Alex Ross has designed the box work, the box art for it. There is some special features to it. There's a behind-the-scenes thing with Alex Ross. There's a behind-the-scenes with the screenwriter Lorenzo Simple Jr. And then there's a single serial episode from 1936, Chapter 1 of the Flash Gordon serial series, Out of the Planet of Peril. So that is coming this summer. What we know is not on this DVD is any sort of commentary cast commentary.
Really?
Well, we learned that from what's her name? Melody Anderson, who is sitting next to us at New York Comic Con.
That doesn't mean that they haven't bought her out by now.
Well, this press release is recent and it wasn't in there, so.
And she hasn't called me yet, so.
No, I thought she was definitely going to call you for dinner.
Well, she hasn't called me about that.
Oh.
I'm supposed to call her about dinner, fool.
Hey, yeah.
All right. Fool.
All right.
Speaking of DVDs, before you jump on, there have been a couple of significant DVD releases since we've been on hiatus.
Right.
And in no particular order, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes, came out this past week.
Right. Special two-disc Platinum Series Edition is the one you want to pick up.
I'd like to make a PSA about Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay.
Working in a video store as a second part-time job, I have to deal with this quite often.
Slave wages.
Slave wages, exactly. When you get home and you take Pan's Labyrinth and you put it in your DVD player and the movie starts up and you notice that perhaps it's Spanish dialogue with English subtitles, please don't call your local video store saying, "I picked up the wrong copy of the movie. I picked up the Spanish version of the movie." That is the only version
really?
Of the movie.
Really? Someone
yeah,
called
like
that?
Four phone calls. Wow. Like the day it was released.
People are stupid.
So I'm not even joking. The movie is Spanish with English subtitles, so please don't call. Please don't harass. Or unless you really are just a dick and you want to harass, and then go for it. Just don't call me.
Also coming out while we were away, based on the crazy comic book, The Fountain.
Comic book? That was based on a comic book?
You didn't know that?
I did not know that, no.
Oh, my God. You're retarded.
Apparently.
Hugh Jackman, Rachel Weisz, directed by Darren Aronofsky.
That I knew.
Who did Pie and Requiem for a Dream, as we know. And, yes. So that's come out on DVD as well.
All right.
Couple more. Friend of the show, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Had a release while we were away in the form of Catch and Release.
Yes.
A little lovey-dovey chick flick starring Jennifer Garner and Timothy Olyphant and Kevin Smith in the friend role, as he refers to it, the fat friend.
And from what I understand, Kevin Smith, really the only good reason to see this movie. I hear his performance is outstanding.
I saw the movie.
Okay.
About a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And I thought it was very funny. I mean, overall, I thought it was...
I'm just going based on the reviews I've read.
It's a chick flick.
Well, yeah.
So if you're going expecting anything other than chick flick, you're going to be disappointed. And of course, the coup de grace of DVD releases while we were gone. Voltron, Defender of the Universe, which would be... Technically, this would be Volume 3. It's the Green Lion version or volume.
What is his name? The little dude that commanded the Green Lion, was it Pip? Was it
Pidge?
Was it Pidge?
I keep forgetting if Pidge is this kid or if it's the kid from Battle of the Planets.
It starts with a P. It definitely starts with a P.
His name is Pidge.
Ah, okay, it was Pidge. Good. Okay, good.
Good.
So now of course, I'm going to wonder who the kid was in Battle of the Planets.
Well, you can wonder about that some other time. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you about the other upcoming DVD releases that I think that the listeners of Geek Stuff might be interested in.
Okay.
We finally have a firm date on the Heroes Season 1 DVD.
Ooh.
That would be August 28th.
Okay.
So Season 1, Heroes, August 28th.
Good.
In addition to that, a DVD that we have been begging for a long time. A DVD that up until now has only been available from the shadiest of bootleg DVD sellers at local conventions.
Flash Gordon.
No. We already said that one. That's coming out.
You know that's coming out, right? Flash Gordon?
You know we just talked about that like 10 minutes ago, right?
I have a head wound, and I would appreciate the two of you cutting me some slack
tonight. No, what I'm talking about is on July 24th, 2007, a special Lionsgate two-disc edition of Monster Squad.
Wow.
Wolfman's got nards. That's all I'm saying.
Monster Squad. Hey, this gives me a new reason to run that Monster Squad ID. I like that one.
Any news on any specials that are going to be on there? Is a good commentary?
Let's see. What
or are
we have?
Getting the cardboard box $9 version?
No. Two commentary tracks. One is technical commentary with the director and cinematographer, and another is cast commentary with a slew of the cast.
Jason Hervey. Is Jason Hervey on there?
Andre Brower? I don't believe. Andre Gower is in there.
Gower.
Ashley Bank.
Oh, she is so hot.
Ryan Lambert.
Like, can I tell you something? Decker. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I met a bunch of these cats at Monster Mania when I got them to record the ID for me that we use on the show.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something about Ashley Bank. Hot.
All right.
So hot.
Yeah, just actually, saying. What I was reading, it had in parentheses next to her name, Cutie. So.
Well, she grows up. It's a hottie.
Oh, yeah. There's also going to be a making of, extended and deleted scenes, and a reunion featurette, and a vintage interview with Tom Noonan in full Frankenstein makeup.
Does it come with an iron cross and a stake, too, as a little accessory?
I don't think so.
That guy's a creep. Tom Noonan, he's creepy. A couple of products coming from NECA that you might want to keep your eyes out for. More Grindhouse action figures.
Right.
Including Stuntman Mike.
Awesome. That's the one that I want.
Right. And I think we'll also have a 12-inch Stuntman Mike as well as a small one.
I have something to say about those real quick.
Okay.
Because I love NECA a lot, actually. I buy pretty much every single piece of product that they put out.
Okay.
But the first wave of Grindhouse figures, no offense, NECA. Really not your best work.
You know, I still need that. I still need that. The chick with the gun leg.
Rose McGowan's character?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys had likeness rights issues, but...
No, you didn't like them?
Quentin was great, but they had Quentin's image already for the Crazy 88 from the...
Right.
What's it called? Figure. So, I don't know. Somewhere, something screwy happened somewhere.
You still have those
lines.
At the store?
Grindhouse? Yeah. About a billion of them.
The chick with the gun?
All three of them.
Oh, I need them. I need the two girls. All right. Well, in addition to that, also a 12-inch Leonidas from 300, who really was the only... I don't understand their process on the figures they put out for 300, but saving that argument for another time, Leonidas was by and far the best figure to come out of it, and now they're doing a 12-inch version that will say a variety of phrases.
I think the Immortal was really good also, but
yeah,
again.
I'm a little confused as to what characters they chose to do there. I don't know. The point is that 12-inch Leonidas will speak some phrases.
Right.
And, four phrases, actually. 12-inch articulated, that's going to be the figure to get, I think, as a representative of that movie.
Well, while we're talking toys, I want to throw something out there real quick. Those of you who listen to this show know that we are huge fans of Sideshow, and also we are big fans of Tonner. We support both companies pretty
as well
pretty strongly.
As they allow us.
And exactly. And the two of them have shrunk. Jesus Christ, I'm just all over the place tonight. The two of them have struck a distribution deal. Sideshow Toys is now going to be distributing all of Tonner's, as I like to call them, geek-related products. So,
cool.
Harry Potter line, DC Stars, Pirates of the Caribbean when they come out, Spider-Man 3 when they come out. So all that stuff is going to be distributed through Sideshow now, which I think is really good exposure for Tonner. And considering that a lot of people are comparing the two in some way, shape, or form, even though I put them on different
levels. They're
entirely
different levels.
But I could see why you would draw a comparison.
Right.
But I think it's a good marriage for Tonner, especially.
Yeah.
So
you know what it is? They're both really high-end products.
Uh-huh.
And so striking a deal like that with Tonner is kind of a really good for Mr. Tonner.
Sure.
I mean, I think that was a great
a
move.
Swell man.
And good for Greg, too, over at... Sideshow. Yeah, good
also
for them.
Also a swell guy. We have a lot of Lost stuff to talk about. We're not going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about some of it next week. We're going to give some people time to catch up, myself included. But what we do know, or what they did announce, was...
I can't believe they killed Locke.
Their plans for...
It's unbelievable.
Dude, you got to do spoiler alert before you do that. I mean, I know, but some of the other people might not
All right,
know.
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
For those of you that don't know, they have actually finally set out, ABC being the they, have finally set out a...
timetable
and a timetable for the show. There's going to be three more seasons, each 16 episodes long.
So let me see if
and consecutive.
Right.
No breaks in between. Once they start, it's going to run 16 episodes consecutive and then done for that season.
Let me see if I understand this. So they will continue to train the Iraqi troops until such a time as we will begin troop withdrawal. Is that how it's going to work?
That's exactly how it's going to work.
Well, thank God, because I think our boys need to come home.
All right. And in the miscellaneous news,
ooh,
and it has nothing to do with you, Fantastic.
Perk
sorry.
Up, Fantastic.
No, it has nothing to do with Fantastic.
Fantastic has news, too, you know.
Okay, well, we'll get to it.
I got nothing.
I found this interesting, and I wanted to share it, so I'm throwing it out there. Tom Sawyer's Island in Disneyland in California, not the Florida one, is completely and totally converting it, and they're making it into a pirate-themed island. I don't know why.
Because don't they and Tom Sawyer talk about pirates?
Pirates at one point in time. They play some little piratey game. That's what they're saying. When truth be told, we all know it's because of the huge success of the Pirates franchise. As much as it will pain me to see the original go away, being a pirate fan, and not just of the movies, but pirates in general, kind of interested in seeing where they go with it and wonder if they're going to do the same thing in Disney World as well. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. We have some images of the before and after and what it's going to look like,
right,
and stuff like that. So you can take a quick peek at that.
Our friend David Peterson is having a very good day today. The writer and artist of Mouse Guard released the first hardcover edition of the collected volume one of Mouse Guard. Came out today. Has a $24.95 tag on it, right, worth every penny.
I got to get me one of those.
It's fantastic. It has all of the episodes, all of the issues.
Episodes?
Issues, including a whole bunch of gallery artwork in the back, some maps and images, and just absolutely great, great stuff. Check it out. It's Mouse Guard Volume 1 hardcover. I mean, really, if you at all like fantasy stuff, this is amazing.
It is.
It's called Fall 1152. That's Volume 1. It's out now at a store near you.
Okay. Are we gonna talk about this EW list tonight, or are we going to save it? Maybe give some people some time to look at it.
I think we're going to tease it.
We're going to tease it.
I think you should stop jumping ahead because I understand Fantastic has some news.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I don't. But I could mention that the Halo 3 beta was supposed to start for the public today.
Correct.
But it hasn't. It's been delayed. They ran into some technical problems.
Okay.
The third way to get into the public beta was to purchase a specially marked copy of Crackdown for Xbox 360.
Right.
You put that disc in, fire it up. There you go to a section in there that says download Halo 3 beta, and you can play from there. Well, it seems like everybody had a problem doing that.
Okay.
And they since said, all right, well, it's the start is officially delayed. The beta was supposed to last for 3 weeks. There's currently people playing it through the Friends and Family program, and they also opened it to the press. So I think as kind of a distraction, they said, oh, right, and the game will release on September 25th, no longer just fall 2007.
Right.
To kind of distract them and throw the fans something.
Did they announce...
Not a good day
for Bungie. Did they announce Grand Theft Auto 4 also?
Bungie would not announce Grand Theft Auto 4.
Well, not Bungie, but I saw something about Grand Theft Auto, the new one coming out in the fall.
I don't know. I hate that game.
Really?
I like I really
those
do.
Games.
No, I told you, you can't aim. You can't shoot for shit, especially with the PlayStation controller.
Yeah,
those dual analogs fucking suck.
But when Kevin plays, he uses the cheats, gets like the grenade launcher or whatever.
He that's just
blows
a lie.
Everything up.
He doesn't have to aim. He doesn't use cheats.
It's proximity.
I use vehicles, not cheats.
He doesn't even play.
Just runs over people.
He just buys it and looks at it.
Yeah, okay, that's not true. I mean, it's true of Lost Planet, and it's true of
you got Lost
Gears
Planet?
Of War.
Let me get that, yo.
No, yo. No, yo, you ain't getting it until I open it. So there.
You didn't even open it?
No.
It's probably had it for like a month.
And that's supposed to be a good one.
There's, I know, I've heard
there's
that.
New content for that one and fun online. You got mechs and big
I
explosions
gotta hook up that
and
online
rockets
thing.
And grenades. And
I got to hook up the online thing.
All right.
I got to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me. I don't have a 360, so I don't have to hook it up.
They're going
to
have online gameplay on the Nintendo Wii before you sign up for Xbox
there
Live.
There you go.
Well, that has nothing to do with me because I have no interest in the Wii.
Do we know when Smash Brothers is coming out, by the way?
I think
is
that's in the
date?
Fall, too.
But
the new Mario Strikers football game,
right?
Supposedly for Wii, will have online head-to-head. So,
Mario football. Whoopee.
What do you care? You're not even going to play anything.
Exactly.
He's an ignoramus. We don't listen to him.
Yeah, we, I know. We don't Xbox, listen to him. Here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Nobody listens.
Remember PlayStation 3?
What about it?
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be back in a little bit.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
We're the Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Fred Decker, director of the Monster Squad.
This is Duncan Regier, Dracula from Monster Squad.
This is Tom Noonan, plays Frankenstein in Monster Squad.
This is Tom Woodruff, Gilman from Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Andre Gower, Sean Crenshaw from the Monster Squad.
This is Ashley Bank, Phoebe from Monster Squad.
This is Ryan Lambert, I'm Rudy from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Wolfman's got an art!
From the mouth of babes comes dynamite. The Monster Squad's gonna groove tonight. First came Dracula, now the Wolfman too. The mummy and the girl are swimming in the pool.
Fuck out of here, really?
Ask him. He knows.
That
really,
is that true?
It's what I've heard.
Really?
Maybe we should say who that is.
That is our pal Starman.
The famous.
In studio with us tonight.
It's true.
And he's going to hang in. He's going to join this discussion. But I think before we get into this discussion, we have to clear this up. Really, World of StarCraft.
The rumor is, yes, this Saturday they're going to make the official announcement that World of StarCraft will be coming out from Blizzard in the near future.
Wow.
That's trouble for you, because you were a big StarCraft fan.
You still am a big StarCraft fan.
I'm still holding out. But
for what? Star Wars?
No, not Star Wars. I've given up on Star Wars.
Oh, Pirates of
Pirates
the Burning
Sea? Pirates of the Burning Sea, Firefly, if it ever comes out.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Take the sky from me.
Oh yeah, that would be good too. World of StarCraft, though,
I know
it would have to be a way better than World of Warcraft because I can't play that game.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. If it's from Blizzard and it's World of StarCraft, I'm guessing it's World of Warcraft with a skin to make it look like World of StarCraft.
I mean,
I'm taking a stab in the dark, but I can't imagine the game mechanics being too different.
Well.
Blizzard's always been good for keeping up with the new games, though. I wouldn't doubt that they would put some new features in it.
Maybe they'd have to listen
to the fans on some of the things that they might like.
Maybe.
No, maybe.
Maybe they'll test some stuff out in StarCraft and then eventually move it over to WoW.
What they should do is they should make it Star Wars Galaxies pre-flip.
Is that what they should do?
That's what anybody should
do.
Somebody please do that so I can play a game again.
Listen, if they're going to do Star Wars Galaxies pre-flip, I want to know that Basil is safe somewhere.
I know.
And I want to bring Basil back.
Soup E du jour.
All of my pets. Parsley, sage, rosemary
thyme.
All of them.
We had so much fun playing that game, Starman. You have no idea.
Yeah, well.
We played, what'd you play for, almost 2 years?
Probably a little bit more than that, actually.
I played for over 3 years.
Well, I would have to dust off Skev Starmoo and
there you go.
Vex Umarax.
See, everybody fucking played that game. Then it flipped and nobody plays. God damn it, stupid fucking Sony.
All right, but we're not here to talk about MMOs.
No,
but we are to talk about MMOs.
We are here to talk about stupid fucking Sony, though, by proxy, because Spider-Man 3
yes.
hit the theaters while we were in hiatus.
With $148 million
opening weekend.
Actually,
I heard the actual number was $151 million.
Oh, really? It was up with $3 million more, huh?
That's what I heard.
And then a drop-off of 60-plus the second weekend.
Yeah, because the buzz on the movie is that it's terrible. And that's accurate.
You know what? In all fairness, because we're going to have plenty of time to criticize this film in the next 20 minutes, but in all fairness, the buzz on the movie overall is not that it's terrible. I have spoken to a lot of people. I talk to a lot of people all the time. Amongst our community, it has some glaring errors, and most people would tell you they hate it. But overall,
most people are smart.
Amongst the general populace, they really enjoyed it. It didn't do that. It didn't do nearly as bad as, let's say, X3 did.
Okay, let's tear it apart then.
Well, I don't necessarily want to tear it apart, but let's discuss it at the very least.
Okay, and by tear it apart, I mean discuss it. What was to you the largest mistake they made in the movie?
The largest mistake they made in the movie, which is not going to be what I think the populace would answer, would be the characterization of Harry Osborn in the last 25 minutes of the film.
Oh, you mean the Green Surfer?
Yes, the Green Surfer.
The Verdant Surfer?
Yeah, the New Goblin.
What is Silver? It's two syllables. We need something. Fantastic work on this. Something that means green but has two syllables. Is it Verdant? Verdant Surfer?
I don't know.
Or Green?
Booger.
Booger Surfer? Hey,
oh, Booger Surfer.
That's great.
Kind of works.
Yes, the Booger Surfer. Okay, so you're saying that. And we should just play this right now. Right, there's the spoiler alert, because in case you're one of the three people who haven't seen this movie yet.
That's right.
Harry Osborn. Screw fantastic. He should have came with us. Harry Osborn, of course, returns as the new goblin, he calls himself.
Right.
He is a glorified snowboarder, but the snowboard flies through the air.
Right.
He gets beat down by Peter, and then he gets beat down by Peter again when Peter is possessed by the symbiote. He throws a grenade at Harry. The grenade blows up. It damages, disfigures part of his face.
Two of the best sequences in the film, in my personal opinion.
And what's great about it is that was the springboard to make Harry a great villain in, say, Spider-Man 4.
Sure.
Now he's disfigured. Now he's
dead.
Even more kind of messed up and so on and so forth. But no. No. What they did is they had this lame scene where Peter says, I can't beat Sandman and Venom by myself, Harry. I need your help. We have to save her. Her being the whiny, bitchy, moany, complainy, poorly acted, overbearing, awful representation of
Aunt May.
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Aunt May. Don't forget Fivehead.
Wait. Mary Jane.
Don't
awful.
Forget Fivehead.
I forgot Fivehead. Yeah. It's true.
It's huge.
But he says to Harry, you have to help me save her, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, he's getting the shit kicked out of him by Sandman and Venom. And the Booger Surfer shows up and helps him.
All right. Now, let me interject here.
Okay.
Because at this point, I'm not entirely angry at the film. Okay? At this point, I do see a genuine cause for Peter to ask for Harry's help. Okay? So I'm not quite upset yet. Where I get upset
is that they let him
Harry's
help.
No, it's, you know what? It's not even that they let him help. It's how he handles the help. The way that it could have worked and not made nearly as many people angry was if he agreed to help Peter for the sole purpose of helping Mary Jane. So it was one of those situations like, you know what? Fuck you and fuck your mother. And tomorrow I'm going to beat the shit out of you. But for today, for the sake of Mary Jane, I will help you. And it's not really help. It's kind of like one of those like where they sort of help, but they're both trying to save Mary Jane. And like they hit each other
okay,
a couple times or
no,
some shit.
I got to cut
It could have
you
worked
off.
That way.
I got to cut
it
you
It could
off.
Have worked that way.
He is trying to kill Peter earlier in the movie. Peter goes and lays the smackdown on his ass and then disfigures him. And he's still going to help him because of Mary Jane?
Well, because the way they have to work the angle is that he's not really helping Peter so much as he's helping Mary Jane.
No.
He still has a thing for Mary Jane.
No way.
In some way, shape, or form.
And now he's disfigured?
Well,
is Mary Jane really going
to
want him?
I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm saying that's the way they could have tried to at least make it work. Better than the butler coming up to Harry going,
come on.
By the way, after three films, I feel that I should tell you.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Now you're getting a little ahead of yourself.
It's all part of the same story.
You're getting a little ahead of yourself here. Because the butler, who I like to call Alfred, because that's who he is. I mean, give me a break. That whole sequence made me vomit. That was such a direct pull from Batman. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
It was
I loved
bad.
Your father just like I loved you. Shut up. Shut up, stupid. It was a direct ripoff of Batman. Moreover, Harry is a rich kid who's going out in a costume with crazy gadgets. It's enough already. Now, getting just one more comment on that Batman-Harry connection there.
Right.
Did you hear what's happening in the new Dark Knight movie, in the new Batman sequel?
No, what?
Apparently, Batman and the Joker
were
friends younger in their life, and they're going to team up. No, that's not going to happen. That's as ridiculous as having Spider-Man team up with the Green Goblin. I don't care which Green Goblin. I don't care if it's the Booger Surfer Goblin or any Goblin. There's no way in hell that Spider-Man teams up with any Green Goblin to save anybody, especially after, A, he just tried to kill him, and B, he just disfigured him. There's no way.
Luck.
It doesn't
Removing
work.
Spider-Man history from the film and working based on just the mythos developed in the film,
work.
They could have made it work. That's all I'm saying.
All he's been doing for two films is trying to kill him.
Fuck. Yeah. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying.
It doesn't work.
What's your biggest criticism of the film?
Okay,
why don't we go with yours
now? Here comes
now.
Mine, because mine is just bring the house down bad.
Okay.
It's not the guy from the first film that kills Uncle Ben.
Okay.
It's Sandman.
Okay.
Pre-Sandman, but it's whatever is. What's
Thomas
name?
Hayden Church.
What's the character's name?
Flint Marko.
Flint Marko apparently was part of this whole thing and was, I guess, responsible for getting the car to get away.
Right.
He is the one who held the gun to Uncle Ben and said, give us the car. There was a struggle and the gun accidentally went off.
I agree. That was
and so,
rough.
No, that wasn't the bad part. That wasn't the, that sucked. I mean, that's like gross backpedaling to begin with.
Right.
Now add in the fact that he tells Peter finds this out. He tells Peter at the end of the film, after he's just been trying to kill him, I'd like to add, again,
right.
Sandman trying to kill him. And at the end, suddenly they're having a conversation about stuff. And Sandman then confronts Peter. They have a lovely conversation about how guilty he feels over killing Uncle Ben. Sandman says how guilty he feels over killing Uncle Ben. And Peter forgives him.
Yes.
Taking away Peter's entire motivation for being Spider-Man.
I agree.
Entirely motivated by guilt to be Spider-Man, he's now released that guilt.
He's neutered, essentially.
That was the worst decision I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
What sort of moron would make that decision?
I don't know.
How can Sam Raimi come off of two brilliant films into this mess?
Okay, now again, I don't want to have to defend Sam Raimi, but I know for a fact that Sam Raimi was not happy with the final script, but did not have a choice.
Okay, now this is bullshit.
How is it bullshit?
I am not accepting that.
Why are you not? He didn't want to do Venom to start with, and Sony forced him to do Venom.
I am not accepting the fact that he is the director of the movie, and he had to do a script that he didn't want to do.
Look,
I'm not accepting
look,
it.
I take this right back to X-Men 3, where I put myself out there and I defended Brett Ratner to a certain degree. Insofar as Sam Raimi is not hired to write the script. Sam Raimi is hired to direct the script that is provided to him. And I know for a fact that he was not happy with the script. It's common. He's said it himself. He's come out and said he was not happy with the script.
You know who wrote the
script?
But
Sony doesn't give him much leeway.
Fantastic where it's fantastic.
He left, go. I'm guessing. Yeah.
What fantastic would be, what I'd be asking now is who wrote the script?
Okay. It wasn't Sam Raimi.
It was Sam Raimi.
It was not Sam Raimi.
It was Sam Raimi and his brother.
It was not Sam Raimi. Because Sam Raimi did not want to have Venom in the script and was forced to put Venom in the script.
Well, that might be that they forced him to put Venom in the script, but I think he wrote it.
I don't believe he was the full writer on that film.
He and his brother.
We'll verify it before we come back for our third break.
All right, fine.
But I don't believe he was the full writer on that script.
We will verify. And let's talk about Venom.
Well, why don't we give Starman a chance to say what he hated most about the film?
Okay. Starman?
He's contributing.
I hope it's Venom, because that would work out well.
Yeah, it was Venom.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Roll.
There it goes.
Why'd you hate Venom?
It felt like they were rushing to put him in the movie, and they kind of just threw him in there just to throw him in there. And for me, it was like, you know what? They could have ended the movie with Venom becoming Venom, and it would have been a good precursor to Spider-Man 4. And that would have been 10 times better than just putting him in for the sake of putting him in.
I agree completely. I think that he was wasted. I think the special effects on him were pretty nice. I thought he looked cool. I thought Topher Grace did a great job as Eddie Brock. And one of the biggest complaints that I've been hearing about Venom, which really is really just showing people's ignorance, is people are complaining about the scenes where Topher Grace as Venom is talking to Peter or talking to Sandman and the costume pulls away from his face to reveal Eddie Brock's head. And the only thing I could say to that is, have you never read a comic book with Venom in it? Because that happens all the time. McFarlane started doing it in the very beginning. The first appearance of Venom, Eddie Brock, the costume pulls away to reveal Eddie Brock's head
right.
Talking to Peter, because that's the human side of Venom. And that's part of that whole dynamic of Venom's character. So for that complaint, just write yourself off and stop complaining. What you should be complaining about is exactly what you said, is that he felt like a throwaway villain. He was the Darth Maul of this film.
Really, I would compare him more to the Bane of Batman and Robin.
He was slightly more significant than Bane, though.
That's
because
true.
He actually did have some involvement in the plot, whereas Bane really was just a lackey for Poison Ivy, and that film was just a Mongolian clusterfuck from the beginning.
Right, that's true.
So he was slightly more important than Venom. The thing that pisses me off about Venom is the rumors that we're starting to hear, that's starting to surface, that's starting to bubble out of Sony and Avi Arad over there about Spider-Man 4, and that is the inclusion of Carnage in the fourth film. How are you going to write Venom off that quickly and then quickly introduce Carnage?
Because
now, granted, it makes sense. The symbiote is left in the lab with Dr. Connors, so there is a piece of the symbiote there, so you easily can do another character. But why not bring Venom back and develop him further? He's such a rich character.
I think the explosion that destroys Venom actually fundamentally changes the DNA of
the symbiote,
and thus Carnage is created.
Yeah, but that symbiote is in a lab away from the explosion under the protection of what we should finally fucking see as the Lizard. I mean, come on already.
I know.
I mean, come on already. I mean, you know.
Enough is enough.
Exactly. You're going to keep on throwing him in there and teasing it. You have to just eventually bring him into the film.
I'd also like to say I did not like Bruce Campbell's role in the film.
Oh, it was silly and it fun. It was silly and it was Bruce Campbell. It definitely was not his best role in the three films. He definitely would have been better suited towards the rumors, which were Mysterio for a long time.
Right.
I'd like to point out, he doesn't defeat Spider-Man in this one.
Hey, actually, I don't know.
Actually, the rumor mill was that he works alongside Spider-Man in this one, is what he was telling everyone.
And that's true.
Technically, he does.
He does.
In an awful subplot.
Before we can move on to what I liked about the film, because there were some things that I liked, and I feel like I'd like to at least point them out quickly, we need to talk about the other controversial scene in the film, which would be Fallout Spidey or All-American Parker or any other emo band insert Spidey Peter Parker
Oh no,
kitschy
you
phrase
mean emo,
here.
You mean emo Parker?
Yeah, emo Parker here. I did not hate the dance sequence. I thought the dance sequence was too long, but I did not hate it. I thought that it actually served a good purpose. I thought that using that sequence in the film, and I don't mean the dancing, but I mean the entire thing surrounding it, the part in the bar and everything, I thought it really was a good way to play up the dual personality of the costume and bringing out the personality of Peter Parker that we don't see in regular Peter Parker. I was okay with it. Right. It was too long, though.
I think it was a good device to use to get somebody to slap Mary Jane.
Well, yes.
Because at that point, I wanted to reach in the screen and slap Mary Jane. Her. Because okay. She's so annoying. It's so, oh, God. It's like, God, I hope he saves her, or do I? Because I really, at that point, I'm just like, wow, I hope to God she dies. I hope
right.
Venom wins here, and she gets it, because, I mean, she's so annoying. Oh, he's so much more I got bad reviews. They replaced me in the show, and Spider-Man is so popular.
I don't remember Mary Jane being that whiny in the comics.
Ever. Nothing but fully supportive, mostly, of Peter.
Oh, yeah, well, they had their issues, but...
Yeah, but their issues weren't...
Her career ever sucked in the comics either.
No, I think she was a soap opera star pretty much from the get-go, isn't she?
The point is that... She certainly was never jealous. I mean, to my recollection, was never jealous of Peter to the point of, I really should go and find somebody else to be with, and then often kisses Harry.
Right. I mean, if you're going to hate a dance sequence in the movie, you should really be hating the twist sequence between Mary Jane and Harry while they're making pancakes or eggs or whatever the fuck they're making in Harry's mansion. That was a bad dance sequence. I mean, let's be honest. But let's quickly, I want to hit upon some of the things I liked about the film. For the most part, with the exception of the Sandman bit and him being the one that kills Ben Parker, which I agree is just utter contrived bullshit, with the exception of that, most of the things that we hate about this film fall within the last 30 minutes, or really fully develop and come to a head, I should say, in the last maybe 30 minutes of the film. And up to that point in the film, I actually was enjoying myself. I had a few moments where I was like, but I was enjoying myself. I was having a good time. I liked what I saw. I thought that there was potential salvation for the film. I knew by that point that it was not going to be as good as the first or second film, but still it was going to be at least a good film.
Right.
So I'd like to at least give it that. I think that if you haven't seen the movie, you would be depriving yourself by not seeing the movie, because I do think you should see it. There really are some redeeming qualities about the film.
DVD.
But really, be prepared at about the 2-hour mark to just fold your arms.
It'll all just go downhill.
The best way I could describe it was, I'm sitting in the theater watching it, and I'm drinking soda, and I'm popping Reese's Pieces, and I'm talking to the people next to me, and I'm having a good time. And somewhere around like the 2-hour and 5-minute mark, I had this look come over my face of kind of like just anger and confusion. And my arms folded on my body and got real close to my chest.
All of us in the back row were just going, no.
And I just sat there and stared at the screen with my mouth open for the past 30 minutes. So you have to prepare yourself for that. But I do think it's worth seeing. I don't think you should write it off completely. But just understand that there are some glaring problems with this movie.
Totally. And I don't understand. I mean, I guess I do understand $151 million at the box office.
Sure.
And that's fine. But it's not a good movie.
Sure.
I would agree with you to the point of it's worth seeing, but I would have to say for myself, I enjoyed it for what it was. It has no rewatch value for me whatsoever.
Sure. I could appreciate that. I could appreciate that. I could see myself going back and watching the first and second ones, certainly, but
quicker,
probably not that
way
one.
Quicker than the third one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm the guy that has to have it. Because I have the first two on DVD, so I'll buy it. But I'll probably open it and watch it maybe once when it first comes out, and that'll probably be it. And maybe even not even then. So
this is another unfortunate example of Marvel filmmaking.
Well, it's another example of Marvel fucking up at the third go.
Yeah, and it really kind of scares me for things like FF2 and Iron Man.
Well, FF2 might be okay. It's a 2, not a 3.
And the Hulk remake. And there's so many of them in the pipe now that... Seeing one that should have been astronomically good be what I consider really bad,
right?
It worries me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on the I'd probably buy it for myself on DVD, but much like X-Men 3, it'll stay unopened on my shelf.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a sad state, and I hope that if they choose to do a fourth one, that they certainly take some of this into consideration and maybe put out another put out a good film. But I'm not holding my breath at this point. I think I'm pretty much ready to write the franchise off, but it is what it is.
Well, that's Spider-Man 3.
All right. Take a break. We'll be right back.
Hello, dear listener. Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
Deeper than my grave, G. I'm ready to die and nobody can save me.
Hey, this is Mez, founder of Mezco Toys, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Like a Jerry Curl, I'm ready to die.
Don't trip, don't skip, money flip, pistol grip, spitting clips, getting chips, cause this gun is on my hip, flip a zip on my zip, and my whip ain't strip, don't trip, don't slip, cause this gun is on my hip, boy, don't wanna see, rims looking mean.
Hello?
Is this Kevin from Meltdown Customs?
Yes, it is.
This is Big Kev of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hey, how you doing?
You are on the show, my friend.
Cool.
Talking with you tonight is my partner Matt over there.
Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
And good. Our producer, Mr. Fantastic.
What's up, Kev?
Mr. Fantastic. How you doing?
So Kev from Meltdown Customs is our first Big Kev's action figure chop shop artist that we're featuring here on the show.
Excellent.
A while back, we created the Chop Shop, and we decided to have artists like Kevin do the figures that we wanted to see made,
right,
that these companies are slacking off on and not making themselves. Isn't it just a gimme that DC Direct should have done Watchmen figures by now?
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking forward to those ones they're already going to make and come out, but...
My friend, I've seen those prototypes.
They were awesome.
And speaking of awesome, Kevin from Meltdown Customs has done a wonderful job on his owl piece, Night Owl, from The Watchmen.
Yep.
That is a great-looking piece, my friend. I really enjoy it.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it.
Kevin, why don't you give us a little, just to give an insight, there was a sort of a pseudo lottery system where the guys in the chop shop sent me the character that they wanted to do.
Right.
And then based on who submitted first and who submitted what, the assignments, if you will, were given out. And Kevin was lucky enough to draw Night Owl. And Kevin, how did you construct the Night Owl figure? First of all, were you excited that you got Night Owl?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Don't hate me. I've never read Watchmen. I've never seen the comic, and really want to see it. I never read it, you know, and I really want to get my hands on it and, you know, read the story and everything. But I knew about the comedian, and I knew about, you know, Night Owl and somebody else, I can't think right
Rorschach?
Now. Rorschach?
Rorschach, yeah. Everyone
like
knows that.
So I think I picked Night Owl, and I picked, Rorschach.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And you got Night Owl, and as we've said already, it's a fantastic job. What figures did you use to make your Night Owl here?
Well, I have lots of spare parts around and stuff, and, you know, for a week or so I was trying to come up with the best idea, and an extra piece that I had was the Earth 2 Robin from Infinity Crisis.
Right. Oh.
And the reason why I had an extra one of him is because there was, like, a recall from DC Direct. They were recalling that whole set, cause I guess because the paint jobs are bad.
Oh,
so I got the whole set, but the heads were missing, because my local comic book store guy, he gave me the whole set pretty much for like 99 cents a piece or something.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and they had to return the heads back to, you know, DC Direct to get credited or something on.
Right,
like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I saw the body, and I was just looking at it, and a lot of the features on the sculpt are real similar to Night Owl. So I was just, you know, looking at it, and it just really got put together. So I used that as the body. Then I had an extra head for a Spike from the Buffy line.
Huh. Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, Spike's head from Buffy. And I used that, you know, sanded it down. Then I used Epoxy Sculpey, which is like the best stuff out there right now.
Right.
It's like a two-part epoxy. You just mix it, and it bonds right to the plastic.
Nice.
Sand it. And, you know, I sanded the hair, and I started sculpting the mask and everything, and just, you know, it came together quite easy. It was an easy one, to be honest with you.
What did you do to the cape? The cape is kind of cloth material, but it's kind of stiff.
What I did with the cape was I was trying to find a cloth to match the color brown that I did for the suit.
Right.
I couldn't find one, so I got an old white cotton t-shirt and used the actual paint. And kind of stained the shirt almost.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, got
sense.
It wet and just like stained it on there so the colors would match.
Yeah, good job.
And yeah, thanks. And, you know, I cut the shape out after it dried and, you know, put the markings on the back using like a, I think I did with it. I did that with paint or maybe.
Yeah, it looks like,
Sharpie
it looks like,
or something.
It looks like you did it with a brush.
A brush, yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, just, you know, I didn't really want to go with the rubber cape look, you know. It just
right.
Sometimes they're nice, but sometimes it's just, you know, I kind of like. I just liked like the old, you know, superpowers when we were kids, you know.
Right.
They had all cloth capes and stuff, and I was kind of going that way, you know.
Well, yeah, you certainly get a more natural,
yeah.
feel and look for it. I mean, you get the texture of the fiber, so it, that's always a plus. And it looks better,
you know,
I think,
yeah.
overall, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
so.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I really did like it, and it came together nice.
Well, Kev, we want to let you know, we've just confirmed with Mr. Fantastic that we're going to be, we don't know, if have you got the inspiration to read Watchmen since you did this figure?
Yeah.
We're going to be sending you one of my personal copies, one of my personal reading copies of The Watchmen for you to read.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate it.
No problem. We're going to send that out to you. You can check out pictures of Kev's Night Owl. You can go over to the home site, BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, and click on the Chop Shop link. And you can see pictures and some picture descriptions of how Kev got from where he started to the figure that we're holding in our hands here in the studio tonight. And, Kev, are you looking forward to your next assignment?
Oh, yeah.
So are we.
Yep.
Don't forget, cool. guys, as we're starting to wrap up with our assignment number one, which is The Watchmen, we are looking for suggestions for our second assignment. Because as The Watchmen figures start coming in over the next few weeks, we're going to be starting to dish out new assignments for the Chop Shop.
Right.
And we're going to be looking for your suggestions. Kev, can you think of anything off the top of your head before we let you go that you might be interested in seeing done?
Well, one I would like to see done is, they already got figures coming out, but I would like to see more is Flash Gordon, the old movie.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, my friend, you... They have some figures coming out. It's not some. It's a ton.
I only saw the two pictures.
Oh, no. You only saw the first two when we were at Toy Fair. The guys at Biff what was it?
Biff Bang Pow.
Chicken. yeah. Showed us a whole book worth of references of characters that they have every intention of doing.
Awesome.
So that's going to be great.
Cool.
So we'll look forward to Kevin from Meltdown Customs next piece that he sends us from his second assignment. When you go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and you click on Chop Shop, there'll be a link there with Kevin's information. You can find out how to get some customs from Kevin, where he's selling his stuff, and so on and so forth.
Cool.
Awesome. Kevin, thanks so much for being on the show with us.
I do. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we look forward to your next assignment with us.
All right, cool.
All right. Take care.
Take care. But you got to
have friends. Hey, Kev, we finally got a MySpace page.
Ugh.
It's www.myspace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff.
I can't believe we've sunk to this level.
So go there, join up, become one of our friends.
Ugh, yeah, one of our friends like that awful Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom. I created MySpace.
Kev, how do you know what Tom sounds like?
I was just guessing he would sound like that.
Fuck, 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 mother, motherfuck, mother, motherfuck, fuck, motherfuck, motherfuck, noinch, noinch, noinch. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, noinch, noinch, noinch.
Hey, this is Jason Mewes, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Snitch. Yes, bitch.
And we're back with episode
57.
I never know what episode we're on. Do you ever notice that?
I do notice it every week.
Episode 57, Frankenstein.
This week, at least, I'm chalking it up to the staples.
You know, we could tie the whole Frankenstein in with the chop shop.
We could. It's kind of like you take bits and pieces of something and you put it together to make something else.
Yeah.
In,
see?
In Frankenstein's case, a monster. In our case tonight, Night Owl.
And it's last there. Week, my head.
Exactly.
So there we go. Nothing snide fantastic to say? Nothing?
That would be no. So
okay,
let's
move on with the wrap.
Briefly talk about what we hit upon tonight.
Make it brief.
Iron Man in the suit. I think it looks pretty good. Robert Downey with the chess piece also looks pretty good. Again, alcoholic playing an alcoholic. I kind of get excited about this, but we'll see where it's going.
Got Robert Downey Jr. syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Eric Roberts in The Dark Knight as some yet-to-be-named, undetermined kingpin. Ronan by Frank Miller coming to the big screen.
Fallen Son, Captain America. The Captain America issue by Jeff Loeb and John Romita Jr. that came out features a special blank cover that you can have your favorite artist do a sketch on for lots of money. Or a shitty one for free. Either way, they'll probably end up on eBay very soon.
If you happen to have an extra copy of these, I know for a fact that if you show up at one of the conventions that we appear at, and you come up to Kevin, and perhaps you ask him very nicely, he will do a sketch for you. I've seen some of his Batman sketches that he does.
I will.
Very impressive.
I will do a sketch.
There are several people out there with Big Kev sketches in their sketchbooks.
I will do it. I will sketch Captain America right on that book.
You will. I don't doubt it.
I might write curse words, too.
You may. In the rumor mill, Robert Rodriguez maybe going to do a live-action Jetsons movie. I don't think so. In the not-rumor mill, Tim Roth will be playing the Abomination in the upcoming Hulk redo. And back to the rumor mill, Josh Holloway, will he be Gambit? Nobody knows.
In the DVDs that came out while we were gone that are significant at all to this show, Pan's Labyrinth, 2-disc special edition DVD.
It's supposed to be in Spanish.
It's supposed to be in Spanish. Our pal Kevin Smith, his latest opus, which by opus I mean he has nothing to do with other than performing in Catch and Release, starring Jennifer Garner.
From the Hotties List.
The Fountain, starring Hugh Jackman.
Wolverine.
And Rachel Weisz, directed by Darren Crazy Aronofsky.
Right.
Is out as well. And, of course, the coup de grace, Voltron Defender of the Universe, Lions Series, Volume 3, The Green Lion.
Featuring a very effeminate sketch of Pidge on the back of the packaging.
Pidge is gay.
Pidge is gay, I'm good. In other DVD yet to come out news, Heroes comes to DVD August 28th. That would be Season 1. Alex Ross is designing the package for the to-be-released this summer Flash Gordon Special Edition DVD and Monster Squad July 24th, two-disc special edition on DVD.
Hasbro will release a special limited edition Silver Surfer that is exclusive to Walmart. Really all it is the Toy Biz Silver Surfer from Series 5, painted silver, mounted on the board, and with new packaging, the new Hasbro packaging. They're saying it's going to be the beginning of June when the FF2 figures, which will not be in the Legend scale, are released.
Right. In some other toy news, Sideshow and Tonner have teamed up. Sideshow will be distributing all of Tonner Inc.'s character pieces that fall within our category. So Harry Potter, Spider-Man, DC Stars, Pirates of the Caribbean, and I know I'm leaving something else out, but I can't think of what it is right now.
Spider-Man?
I think I said Spider-Man.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
DC Stars, Harry Potter.
Last Mimsy?
Maybe if we're lucky, Firefly.
Oh,
maybe.
Well, we can only hope. NECA has a couple of releases. More Grindhouse figures coming out, including Kurt Russell's character, Stuntman Mike. Rumor has it he'll be coming in a 6-inch version and a 12-inch version that will feature perhaps some sound chip dialogue from the movie, as well as an awesome 12-inch Leonidas from 300 that will say four phrases. This is the figure you want to have from this movie. He's also the 6-inch figure you want to have from this movie.
Right.
And he'll be out as well, both coming out very soon.
For those of you who are Lost fans, ABC has announced that they will be wrapping up the show in 2010 with three more seasons after this season, each consisting of 16 episodes that will run consecutively, a total of 48 episodes left in the series.
I'm in the middle of season one.
You're in the middle of slow.
And speaking of slow, take your time reading Mouse Guard, Volume 1. The hardcover collected edition is now out by our pal David Peterson. The title is Fall 1152, $24.95 price tag. Reprints all the issues in their full color glory. Also contains sketches and other little doodads that are often contained in such a volume by our friend David Peterson, friend of the show.
And in the next segment of the show tonight, we talked about Spider-Man 3. Look, all of you obviously have opinions about the movie. Most of them we've probably addressed in some way, shape, or form tonight. So if you have something that you'd like to contribute that we didn't say already, feel free to shoot us an email. Otherwise, we know most of you hated it anyway.
Why don't they go over to the message board and talk about it on there?
Message board is temporarily down right now. We're working on getting that back up.
Oh, okay. Is that part of our technical issues?
That is part of the technical issues.
I see. And speaking of message boards and technical issues, we want to thank our pal Starman for making the long trek out from Minnesota to be with us on the show today.
Is that a bathhouse?
And
by Retailer X?
No.
Is that Minnesota also?
I think that's Iowa.
Oh, is that Iowa? Oh, yeah. My bad. Sorry, Starman.
Starman in studio tonight. Thank you for contributing to our conversation about Spider-Man. I'll just say that I thought it was a terrific letdown with some absolutely harsh and critical mistakes. That's all I'll say about Spider-Man.
And in the trilogies, you should know that Pirates of the Caribbean 3 at World's End comes out next week. If you are in the northern New Jersey area, myself and Big Kev will be hosting the Midnight Show at the AMC Clifton Commons on Route 3. So you should stop by, say hello, and check out the fun that ensues there.
Yes, it's true.
And we can move on to the Chop Shop.
The final segment tonight was our first feature in Big Kev's Action Figure Chop Shop. Kevin from Meltdown Customs stepped up to his first assignment, which was Night Owl from The Watchmen. He explained to us how he did it. You can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, click on Chop Shop. It'll bring you to a page where you can see pictures and descriptions and so on and so forth. And if you would like to get some custom work done by Kev, you can see how to contact him over there. We're very excited. Some more of these are going to be upcoming in the next few weeks. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see what's next.
And in the plugs and finale of the show, I'd like to throw a couple of things out there. Again, we mentioned you can visit us at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Drop us an email at BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com. You can visit us at MySpace. We also have been putting up some teasers up on YouTube of the episodes, little snippets from the new segments. You can go over there and check those out, although really they're just parts of the episode. You know, leave a comment and point your friends to that if they've never checked out the show before.
If you are listening to us via iTunes, if you want to go over to iTunes and leave us a review, that would be great. Is that iTunes or Apple?
It's iTunes.
That they can leave us a review?
Yes.
How does that work, Fantastic?
It's the iTunes store. Search for Geek Stuff in the podcast section.
There you go. You can leave us a review on there. And don't forget to tell your friends about the show. Also, if you'd like to hear more of us on XM Satellite Radio, you can drop a line to eric.logan@xmradio.com.
Good luck getting that email through.
I'm sure that will help.
And in the last little bit of plug sections, Hero Envy has posted up their latest episode. Again, they do a great job promoting us over at their website. And I'd like to extend the favor to them. You should really check out the latest episode. It's really very funny. Glintofhope.com, you can check that out. And for that rap bastard, Brian Lynch, the party truck is back up and running.
Why are we promoting Brian Lynch?
You know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Brian. I do.
Soft spot in your head. And also, we just want to say to two of our friends who are very instrumental in the creation of this program, stay strong, brothers. Stay strong.
And on that note, we cue the music.
We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory's won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory's won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory's won, even some will have to face physical death. Physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death. Then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the corner.